Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up to Purpose with your host, John Stanko. This program will help you find your purpose and, more importantly, how to make your purpose work for you. And now, here's John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in internet land. This is none other than John Stanko, your host for Wake Up to Purpose. And I'm just sorry this is an internet radio podcast because I'm looking out my window and it's absolutely a magnificent day. Sun is shining, and probably in about 3 months we may need to listen to this and remember what it was like to have a day that the sun was shining. But for today, it is magnificent, almost too good to be sitting inside and doing a radio broadcast, except that my guest today is a good friend and a pastor and a brother who has distinguished himself through outstanding service and ministry for the last 30 years at one church, specifically Bethany Baptist Church in Pittsburgh, PA. And so in a moment, I'll be bringing on Reverend Dr. William Glaze, who is going to be talking to us about pandemic ministry and 2020 ministry and anything else that may come up. I don't know. This may be setting a trend because we had Pastor Rock Dillaman a couple of weeks ago, who's 36 years at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And of course, he just recently stepped down a couple of weeks ago, transitioned the church. And so we'll hear from Pastor Glaze about what his plans are and just how ministry has gone during these days of uncertainty and a way that the world has seldom gone before. I said it was almost too nice of a day to be sitting inside, but sitting inside I have been nonetheless. And as we came up to showtime, I was repopulating my mobile app for Purpose Quest International. I wasn't really repopulating it because I have somebody who uploads all my video messages and whatnot, and then I go back in and fill in all the supportive information, like just up to the show. I was working on some of my preach messages, so I like to go ahead and put my verse passage in and a summary and a subtitle to the message. And I'm so grateful to the person who does the other part and gets my artwork out and or sets it up and then uploads the message. Then I go in and take care of the rest. So this will make, when I'm all done, about 30, 35 messages that I have, video messages on the ministry app. And then I've been getting ready today for Saturday. I've got an appointment for an hour with a videographer. I'll be doing 3 sessions, and this time I'll be doing Unlocking the Power of Your Spiritual Gifts. And I've been talking on Facebook Live how I haven't taught on gifts for a while. I used to teach on gifts before I taught on purpose, but got away from it. And you know, I've looked for teachings over the years on spiritual gifts, and I've never been totally happy with what I've seen. I think it's rather predictable, and maybe it should be. Maybe I shouldn't be looking for more than there is. But then I came across a notebook with my notes from the gifts teaching 35 years ago, and it just rejuvenated something in me. And so I'm using that material I used to teach 35 years ago as the foundation for what I'm going to record this Saturday. And then, of course, eventually that will go on the app as another unlocking series. As soon as I'm done with the show, I have some papers to grade for the Gospels class at Ottawa University in Kansas, and this is my second 8-week session with a course for Ottawa on the Gospels. And so this is the third time I'm teaching it online, so I'm really getting it down to a science. I have all my comments for the students' papers and everything pretty much systematized, because I think the plan is for me to continue to do this. It is a mandatory class, which is wonderful for an instructor, because the students don't have an option. They have to take it. And so I'll be working on that. And then tonight at 7 o'clock, I have my first of six online purpose and spiritual gifts classes. And I started doing these over the summer and saw a huge response. I could take more people. I like to limit it to about 12. So you can hear from everybody. They can hear from one another. And so that will start tonight. And the last time I did it was just 4 weeks on purpose. So I've added 2 weeks on spiritual, to add a week for spiritual gifts and a week for personality. So that starts tonight. And I never cease to be amazed at the power of social media and technology that enables me to connect with people. And as you've heard me and get tired of hearing me throughout the pandemic, that is what I have been preaching, that God wants us to use this season to learn new techniques, new procedures to deliver ministry in the 21st century. And I think we have had mixed reviews on that. We've had mixed results, and perhaps I should say a mixed reception of how people, especially in the church, feel about that and its effectiveness and its appropriateness. And but that's a topic for another show at another time. At any rate, enough about all that. Let me go ahead and bring on our guest for today. As I say, I click on that. There we go. My internet. There we go. Well, welcome to the show, Pastor Glaze.
John, it's good to be with you this, as you said, sunny afternoon in the Steel City.
Yes, and you know, what are we doing inside? This is my fault. I apologize and thank you. You'd probably be out playing golf or, you know, hunting or doing some outdoor activity, and here you are talking to me, so we are grateful. You're not really an outdoor, you're not a hunter or a golfer or anything, are you?
No, sir. Yeah, I like indoor activities, outdoor activities. I like doing yard work. I have a garden. I like to work in my garden. So, you know, those are the outdoor activities that I do. Maybe when I retire, I'll probably take up golf and just enjoy that. You know, right now I've got other things to do, and so that's not on the top list of my things to do. But
yeah,
that is on my list of things to do at some point.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I always said, when people ask me, are you a golfer? I say, well, I have enough frustration in my life. I don't need to go inviting it to come in. And so, I'm not a huge outdoorsman either. But, all right, you mentioned retirement. And don't I remember from a year past or so that you had kind of set a general time when you would be retiring? Is that the case? And if so, when is it, and how's the clock? Is the clock ticking? Where are we at on the timeline?
Well, you know, I just turned 65 this year, and I asked the Lord, you know, if He lets me have a sound mind and body, but I'd like to go until 70, and so that's kind of my goal. You know, we're in the midst of a building campaign, believe it or not, among this COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
And we're in the final phases of building a new sanctuary. So, you know, I kind of want to, you know, see that completed, and even
mm-hmm.
if the Lord is gracious and allows us to pay it off in the next 5 years, that is what, you know, what my plans are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Pastor Rock went 36 years, so you have to go, another six and a half years, and you can beat him, and then you can you can join him in retirement. You raise, you know, the COVID and the pandemic. Talk to me about the last 7 months. What's ministry been like? What are your observations? What have you learned? What's the church been doing? How have you been having services? Just talk to us a little bit about the last 7 months.
Well, you know, the greatest revelation that I've had, which I kind of knew it, but the reality has come to pass over these past 7 months, and that is, you know, the church is not the building. The church is the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
has been something that has, you know, really opened my eyes to what the church is all about. Now, you know, we haven't met. We're still not meeting right now, because you know, in most of the African American churches within the city of Pittsburgh, and especially in Homewood, you know, they're not meeting right now. And you know, there's several reasons, you know, why we're not meeting. You know, one is the high risk among African Americans. I think a lot of our congregations, and I know my congregation, you know, has a senior population, and you know, and the people already told me that even when we start back, that you know, they're not going to come back, you know, the first month or so. So so we've just decided to, you know, stay in the mode that we're in. Now, this mode that we're in is a powerful mode because, like I said, you know, the church is not the building. And so, you know, we haven't missed a beat as far as services. You know, I'll go in on Friday. You know, I'll do a sermon. You know, our choir comes in. You know, they do the music, and we put it online because our normal worship service starts at 10:30. So we put it online at 10:30 every Sunday morning, and you know, our people are connecting with us. You know, it was amazing when we first started. I haven't checked out any numbers lately, but I know when we first started, you know, we like tripled what you know, people that were connecting with the service, you know, you know, opposed to those who were coming in person. So, you know, we were getting two times as many people, you know, online as we were, you know, in person. And then, you know, we do Zoom Bible studies on Wednesday, which is going very well. You know, we have a good following there. And then, you know, all of our meetings, you know, we haven't missed a beat as far as our meetings, you know, because, you know, we're doing all of our meetings on Zoom, you know, getting to the place where we're doing our small groups on Zoom. And, you know, John, the interesting thing is back in January, you know, I was a part of several boards, and, you know, we would have meetings, and they would, you know, they would give these Zoom IDs and Zoom passwords. And I had no idea what Zoom was all about. And so, you know, I was connecting on the phone number, and you know, in the back of my mind, I said that, well, you know, I'm not really going to, you know, investigate Zoom probably till 2021. You know, I said I'll finish out this year, you know, doing the phone thing, and it's amazing, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor because, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I was forced, you know, to learn Zoom and to get on Zoom, and now, you know, I'm a Zoom person. So, you know, it's just amazing. You know, I heard you, you know, talking in your, you know, opening how that, you know, God is, you know, moving us into new areas of exploration in the area of technology. And I can honestly say that, you know, it wasn't my intention to get on, you know, Zoom. And like I said, probably 2021, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, I'll just stay in this mode that I'm in. But like I said, you know, the Lord has a way of making us do things that we say that we're not going to do.
Yeah. So has it surprised you, its effectiveness? You know, is this something you know the church is thinking about long term? Have you started to, you know, strategize in that area? But just what are the effects? Has it been better than you thought? How you thought it was going to be?
Well, it's definitely a lot better, and I think that, you know, we probably would be disconnected in a lot of ways, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, the technology. So, you know, without it, you know, we would be lost because, you know, I know, you know, there's a lot of churches out in the suburbs that have gone back and, you know, they started, you know, going back to service, but, you know, we haven't been able to do that. So, you know, without the technology, you know, we would be in trouble. And, you know, the thing that I realized, too, is that, you know, and, John, this is unbelievable, man, that the people have been faithful in giving. You know, I thank God for, you know, his and that shows me something right there, and that is that, you know, the people are not necessarily, you know, connected, you know, again, to the building, but, you know, their hearts seem to be connected to God because, you know, I don't know if you – have seen this in other churches, but, you know, in August, you know, there's that drop off, you know, that summer drop off as far as the giving is concerned. And we didn't drop off one bit. You know, we just continued right through. And, you know, the Lord has just blessed the giving of our church. And so from a financial standpoint, you know, again, you know, the Lord has been good to us through the people of God. And I believe that, you know, one of the reasons is because of the technology that, you know, every Sunday, The congregation can you know go online and they can see me preaching a message. They can see our choir every Wednesday. You know, people in our church can connect with us for Bible study. Our deacons meetings, mm-hmm. Other missions meetings. As a matter of fact, John, we're getting ready to have a virtual missions conference in about mm-hmm. 2 weeks. And we're having missionaries that are coming on through Zoom. Speakers mm-hmm. that are going to be coming on, and so technology has really been a blessing. I know some people get frustrated with it, and some people say that it's a curse, but at this point it's been a very positive thing for our congregation. And even moving ahead, I think mm-hmm. that and this is kind of scary because I think that mm-hmm. We will probably have less in-person meetings at the church. I've been more busy now than I was when, mm-hmm. I was physically going to the church building. And one of mm-hmm. the reasons, people, when they come to a meeting at the church, they got to leave their house, they got to get in their car, they got to drive, got to get out of their mm-hmm. car, come to the church. Now, all they have to do is, turn on their computer, and they're right mm-hmm. in the meeting. So I think that, things are really going to be different even on the other side of COVID-19.
Yeah, yeah. I've been invited. I'm recording a message this week for a conference in England, and it's going to be a virtual conference on YouTube. And so we're pre-recording, and I'm going to do a Zoom solo so I can put PowerPoint up and record my hour-long message. And I've done four or five. We've been doing it ACAC daily psalm, a psalm for the day. And so I just sent my fourth uh-huh. one in, Psalm 109, and I'll have one more, Psalm 144. And 400 or 500 people view it, and it's in the archives.
Yeah.
And I use it in my other, my own ministry outlets and social media. And so it's been a, I'm a big proponent of social media. I was saying we need to use it. The church needs to come up
right.
to speed. And I wasn't using it. I was talking about it. I was preaching about it. And now I'm at my quote unquote studio, which is my desk every day, and broadcasting or touching a lot of lives. And it's, I've just learned so much. And as you
right.
said, it's not going away. Let me ask you, what was your strategy over these last 7 months? Did you address COVID directly? Did you preach, a series that maybe would be consistent with what's going on? Or were you in a series and you just continued the series? Well, what have you been preaching about the last 7 months?
Well, when everything first happened and we got shut down, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for about a month or so. So, that kind of froze any series or anything that I was in. And then when we started back up, we started back up on Sunday morning. And I actually, started a series of messages, related to, how we get through these stressful times. I remember I preached a message from the book of Jeremiah where, the captives were in Babylon. And Jeremiah told them to build their houses and plant their vineyards and marry, because they were going to be there. And the title of the message that I had was In the Meantime, In Between Time. And basically what I was saying is that, we're in this for right now. And, we need to build our houses. We need to plant our vineyards. And then the thing that I love that the Lord says, he says that you need to, in the land of captivity, you need to increase and not decrease. And that was mm-hmm. that was my message, the first messages after COVID is that, we need to increase and not decrease. The devil would love nothing more than to cause us to decrease during this time. But, we need to, look for new opportunities of ministry and how we can reach out to people. And so
mm-hmm.
Actually, I did do a series of messages related to how we get through, these times. I actually did a message on fellowship because I didn't want the people to forget about how important fellowship, you know, really is. And I was telling them, I was saying that even though we can't, you know, come together right now, you know, God still, you know, this is not to be the permanent mode, you know, because, you know, we need one another. You know, you look at the one another's in the New Testament, and you look at, you know, the not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. So I you know, I had a strong message on fellowship because I just wanted to keep that in our spirits that, you know, that fellowship is important and that we are coming back together. You know, even though technology has changed the way that we're going to do a lot of things, that, you know, technology can't change the fellowship, you know, of being in the presence of one another. So, yeah, I did a series of messages. And then on Bible study, for Bible study on Wednesday, I went through the book of Job, talked about life lessons from the book of Job. And I think we had like 7 or 8 life lessons, and they all dealt with how to make it through a time of suffering. So, you know, I was really trying to equip people to be able to deal with the pandemic, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, so that, you know, that, again, so that they would increase and not decrease. So, you know, we've come through that, and, you know, now I'm doing a series on the names of God on Sundays, and I just finished up a series today for Bible study on the book of Jonah. And so, you know, I'll, you know, be moving into another direction next week. So that's kind of, you know, where I've been. And I've been trying to preach to the times and, you know, making constant relevancy to, you know, what's going on around us so that people can take the word of God and they can apply it to their situation and that they can make it, you know, through whatever it is they're dealing with. You know, we had a guy who was a musician at our church. He ended up passing away from COVID. And so, you know, that hit us kind of hard, you know, when we heard about that. Other than that, you know, we really haven't had a lot of people in our congregation. I'm going to say maybe 2 or 3 that actually, you know, got the virus. And then we, like I said, one guy, he wasn't a member, but he was one of the musicians at our church. And, and he actually passed away from COVID-19.
Yeah, we're sorry to hear that. You know, when you were talking about, you know, us being restricted and, but, you know, having the technology, I was reading the other day in Acts 24, and it was talking about Paul before Felix, and Felix says that, you know, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case. Verse 23 of chapter 20 of Acts 24 says, then he gave orders to the centurion for him, Paul, to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. I thought, that's a summary of where we've been. We've been confined, but we've had some freedom. But our friends, through technology, have had access to us, and we to them. And like you said, you know, it's, what was it, Hallmark had the saying years ago, it's the next best thing to being there. Some people said the, you know, the technology is an abomination to the Lord, but it's been an ever-present help in time of trouble. And that's where we've been. Now, as if, you know, a pandemic isn't enough, may we have the George Floyd incident that occurs, and since then, you know, our culture, our society has been feeling the effects of that event, but of course the whole issue of police mistreatment of African Americans was certainly prevalent in the news before then. Did that impact your ministry? Did that impact your preaching? And you may even want to take a moment and just share some of your own, a moment. I mean, we could use the whole show, but just your own personal, you know, how you were impacted. Well, what went through your heart and mind when that incident occurred?
Right. I did start, when things first broke out, with a message. And, you know, I was sharing, you know, I think maybe 2 or 3 messages on a Sunday morning, just dealing with racial injustice and dealing with, you know, just the what, you know, blacks in this country have been through. And, you know, I really, you know, my message was not, you know, preaching to condemn, you know, anybody, any race or anything like that. You know, I was just, you know, preaching to show, you know, how that in this country, you know, there has been a history of, I guess, shutting down the rights of African Americans. You know, now, granted, it's gotten a lot better. You know, there's no question about that. It's gotten a whole lot better. But, you know, when I saw the George Floyd situation, one of the things that, and this is one of the things I tried to communicate to a lot of my white brethren, was that, you know, for a black man looking at that, you know, now some people will say, well, you know, George Floyd had done something wrong. You know, he got himself into that situation. You know, and to me, regardless of why it was there, that, you know, for me, you know, just, you know, having a difficult time dealing with, you know, slavery, you know, to the day, you know, I'll be honest with you, I really can't, you know, watch, you know, movies that, you know, about slavery and things of that nature, because, you know, just does something to my spirit. So I kind of stay away, you know, from all those movies. You know, people will ask me, well, have you seen this movie? Have you seen that movie? You know, and I say, well, no, I really don't watch, you know, movies because of what it does to my spirit. So, you know, for me, you know, to see a police officer, a white police officer, with his knee on the back of a black man for, you know, over 8 minutes, you know, for me, you know, those images were conjured up in my mind, you know, going back to, you know, this was the kind of the same scenario that played out during slavery, you know, where, you know, the white slave master, you know, was ruling over the slave. And so, that was difficult for me. And, you know, I think that a lot of, especially black men, you know, people don't realize it, but, you know, these guys grow up and they know about slavery, even though they might be, you know, years removed from it, they know about that. And so, you know, for a lot of people, you know, I think those images, you know, conjure up, you know, a dark time, you know, in our country. And again, like I said, you know, I realize that things have gotten a lot better. And, you know, I've been the beneficiary of a society that has given opportunities to a black man. So I know that it's gotten a lot better. But, you know, when you see things like that, you know, it just, for me, it was kind of like a setback a little bit. And, you know, it was, you know, just kind of difficult to deal with. But, yeah. You know, and again, you know, I, you know, we have in Homewood, we have a great relationship with the police. I mean, whenever, you know, we want to do something, the police will come block off the street. You know, they'll stand around for our events. You know, we've brought the police into our Sunday morning service on several times. And we had them come forward. The congregation has come, laid hands on them. We prayed for them. So, we have a great relationship with the police, you know, in Homewood. So I realized, you know, as I was looking at the George Floyd situation, that, you know, that was an isolated incident, and that wasn't reflective of, you know, because most of the police in Homewood are white. You know, we have a couple black officers in Homewood, but most of them are white. And I said, you know, that's just not reflective of the guys I know that we work with in Homewood. So yeah, you know, for me, you know, personally, it was a struggle. And you know, again, I know that that's not where, you know, everybody is at as far as, you know,
sure,
the way the treatment that we saw from those police, or from that one policeman, anyways.
Uh-huh.
And then,
yeah.
You know, I would say this, that, you know, the other thing, I think that there's been a capitalization on that by certain groups to promote their agendas, and they've kind of rode the coattails of the George Floyd and other situations, and now, you know, there's been the looting, the rioting, and then I think hidden agendas that have been attached to what the flavor of our country is at this time.
Yeah, and all this happens in an election year, so it's like, you know, we've had COVID squared, we've had social unrest cubed, you know, and
right.
You know, I was watching Smithsonian Channel the other night, and of course I was 13 when President Kennedy was shot, And I remember on a Sunday afternoon watching TV, because we were glued to the TV, and it was black and white TV, and they were bringing Lee Harvey Oswald out, and there on live national television, Jack Ruby jumped out and shot him. I mean, we saw somebody get shot on TV. That was unheard of. Well, one of the secret, throughout the movie or the documentary, they interviewed the Secret Service man who was in the car behind President Kennedy when he was shot. And at the end, he said, you know, for me, he said it was the age of innocence. And I thought, how true. I mean, you know, we had never seen anything like that on TV. Now, with the George Floyd incident, for 8.5 minutes, the world got to watch. And I was thinking, when I saw the Oswald clip, that was for some people probably the first time they'd ever seen anybody die. And I remember the effect it had on me as a 13-year-old to see that. Now we had it, and it's been played over and over again. And so I think what you said is it's almost a PTSD type response when you see something like that. As you said, it conjures up other images and stories that people didn't have to be involved in directly. It just, the association would cause great emotional and psychic turmoil. And so I don't know how people make it without the Lord, because we've barely made it with the Lord, you know, and Him being with us. And so, there are many people who love you and people who look like you, and we love the Lord. And that is not only what we stand for. I've told people, if you tell me what I can do, if I could walk to Minneapolis and keep that from happening, I'd be glad to do it, you know. And I believe God's gonna help us. And the church is the only answer. And we barely can make it with Christ. So, so anyway, it's just been a year we will never forget. Let me digress for a bit, and not because what we're talking about isn't important, but I want to give our listeners, you know, a little fuller orbed picture of all that you do. You know, when you talked about social media, you're no stranger to technology. I mean, you've done radio for a number of years. Talk to us about why you got into radio and how many years you've done it, and what you've learned from it.
Right. You know, it's interesting that when I first came to Pittsburgh, the Lord placed on my heart that He wanted me to have a radio ministry. And so, you know, that was something that I prayed about. And the Lord, it's amazing how He opened the door for us to do that. This was like in 1990. I had somebody come up to me and give me a check for $2,500. Now, you back then, you know, that was a significant amount of money.
Yes,
and they
indeed.
Told me, you know, Pastor, you know, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you know, that you can use this for. So I had a guy in the church that he was a drug addict, and he came up to me after church on a Sunday morning, and he said to me, hey, I want you to disciple me. Now, you know, John, I don't know about you, but, you know, somebody coming off the street, and, you know, the first thought in my mind is that this is just going to be a waste of my time. And so I gave the guy a couple scriptures to memorize. There was a book, you know, Pursuing Holiness, and I told him to read a chapter in that, and it was something else. And I said, come back to see me next week. So he comes back next week. He's memorized the verse. He's not only read a chapter, he read the book. And I said, man, this guy's serious. So, you know, that was the beginning of a discipleship relationship. So in the process, I found out that, you know, he had some skills in the area of technology. And I was sharing with him that the Lord had put it on my heart to start a radio ministry. And so with the love gift that we received, and with God bringing this guy into my lap, you know, we started out in a little AM radio station on Sunday morning in Homewood. And, you know, we progressed, you know, we were on Lorne Mann Station, we were on WHAMO, and finally the Lord opened up the door for us to go on Word FM. And, you know, now we're on every weeknight, Monday through Friday, at from 7 to 7:30. And this is like 30-some years later, John. And the guy that, you know, came to me, you know, off the streets, high the night before, he's still the guy that's doing the radio ministry. And, and we've expanded, you know, the radio ministry because now, you know, Anchored in Jesus Ministries, you know, first it was Anchored in Jesus Radio Ministry. Now it's Anchored in Jesus Ministries, and we do merchandise. We have a Facebook Live event. I do a weekly devotional. You know, we provide, you know, I've written books. And so, you know, just out of this ministry, you know, God has just birthed other ministries that, you know, are reaching people and touching people. So, you know, it started with the radio, but, you know, the Lord just used that as an entree, you know, into this this other arena where, you know, as you said earlier, you know, just being able to, you know, reach people around the world. And, you know, when I think about it, you know, the radio ministry, you know, God is just, you know, he just used that. And now he's just taking it even, you know, to this time of technology. You know, 30 years ago, you know, God saw the technology. You know, we didn't see the technology. You know, we were just being faithful to go on a little AM radio station on Sunday morning. We were just, you know, faithful to do that. And then, you know, God, he saw, you know, the Facebook Live, and, you know, he saw the internet broadcast. And I mean, it's just, you know, praise God, you know, for that he's God and I'm not.
Amen. Amen. Well, you mentioned writing, and I'm looking at your bio here. You're the author of 11 books, Touched by the Breath of God, Why God-Inspired Books Are Not Lost, Laying a Firm Foundation with a Further Covenant of Marriage, Bible Prophecy, A Look at God's Plans for the Future, Discipleship for Today's World, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, Heaven Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, Apologetics, Cutting It Straight, How to Rightly Divide the Word, Couples That Pray Together. What got you into writing? And then I'm going to ask you to pick what's your favorite book? What was the one that was the most enjoyable to work on or the most satisfying when it came out? But first, how did you get into writing?
Well, yeah, I'll say this, that, you know, when I went to college, you know, I got a degree. My degree was in English. And, you know, when I went into the ministry, you know, people kept telling me, you know, and this was people saying that, oh, you know, you ought to, you know, take your sermons and you ought to, you know, transform into books. You know, you got the English background and, you know, on and on. And so, you know, I would say, you know, John, it was probably over 20 years and I just had no desire, you know, to write. You know, I was, you know, busy preparing sermons, ministering to people. And then, you know, it's almost like, you know, a surfer that, you know, goes out and catches a wave. And then, you know, once that surfer catches the wave, then he rides it as long as he can. And so I would say that, you know, the wave came, and you know, I caught the wave, and it just seemed like while I was on the wave, man, you know, just, you know, book after book, you know, began to come. And then I remember, I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, we went to a little bistro on the north side. And, you know, we had lunch together, and I was asking you, you know, about writing. So I would say that you were definitely a catalyst because I hadn't read, you know, any books at all, and I was just trying to figure out, you know, how to get into, you know, this writing business. And I just thank God, you know, that you took the time, you know, to talk to me, that, you know, and spend the time with me and share with me, you know, some things about writing. So, you know, I would say that, you know, you played a very significant part, you know, in my life as far as, you know, me getting into this writing field. And then, like I said, you know, once I started writing, it just seems like, you know, the books kept coming.
Addictive.
And then, yeah, right. And then, you know what, the Lord blessed me because actually I had six retired school teachers that were in my congregation. And I started meeting with them. And then they, you know, were coming around and, you know, saying that, you know, you ought to do this and that. And then the next thing I know, man, they were meeting every week and they were, you know, taking, you know, stuff that I was writing and, you know, they were, you know, editing, putting it together, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, I mean, this was just a God-ordained thing because, you know, I mean, I talk, when I tell other pastors that, you know, ask me, you know, how did I get into writing? And I tell them about this team of retired school teachers I got. You know, John, I see the green-eyed monster coming up in their eyes. Man. You know, say, you know, I just wish I had, you know, somebody in my congregation, just one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Lord has blessed me with six. And I'm going to tell you my favorite one. But before I do that, I just want to say that, you know, again, I thank God for you because, you know, you were the one that, worked and published one of my books, 50 Ways to Resist the Devil. And, you know, that actually started out as a sermon that I preached. And, I talked about different ways. I think I might have had about six strategies, you know, to resist the devil. And then I came home after church and my wife said, you know, you ought to turn that into a book. And so I thought about that and I thought about, you know, 50. So then again, be on that white writing wave, you know, I said, okay, I got to come up with 50 ways now to resist the devil. So what I did was I went through the Bible and I looked at all the verses where it teaches us how to deal with Satan. And each one of those verses, you know, I actually turned into, you know, a way to resist the devil. And to be honest with you, I think that, you know, I ended up with more than 50 ways. I think I might have had about 54 or 55 ways to resist the devil. So, you know, that was, a good one for me, and I enjoyed doing that. And again, I appreciate the work that the help that you and your son, you know, were able to give me on that particular book. But, you know, I don't know, John, about you, but it seems like maybe – I don't know if it's like this for every writer, but, you know, I know for me, I guess it's the first one. You know, that getting that first one out there and you know, finally seeing, you know, your work in print, you know, in a book form. And I did put a lot because, that's where my heart was at the time. You know, I felt that, you know – the Bible was just, you know, the object of ridicule. It was being torn down, even Christians, you know, not being able to defend it and stand. So, you know, I wanted to, you know, write something that would help, you know, believers to know, you know, this is the Word of God. You know, this is God's Word, and we can stand on it. And yeah, we can accept it by faith, but look, here's the evidence, too. You know, we got archaeology. We got, you know, prophetic utterances. You know, we've got the endurance through persecution. We've got, you know, the revelation of the future. So, I mean, there's just so many things that we have to support this word that we have. And so I would say that that's probably my favorite one, even though, you know, ones after that I've enjoyed. But, you know, that's probably my favorite one because, and like I said, maybe it's because it's my first one.
Now, is that Touched by the Breath of God?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why God-inspired books are not lost. Yeah, mine was Life is a Goldmine, Can You Dig It? We've now done four iterations of it. The latest one was a couple years ago. It was the 20th anniversary edition. It just got translated into Spanish. It's been translated into Chinese. Also, in working with Ottawa University, they had me produce a campus edition, and they bought a copy of the book to distribute to each one of their students on their campus. And so you're right. That was my first. I've taught from that so often. As I was, talking earlier about the gifts teaching, that was the precursor to the Life is a Goldmine. So, and as I was walking out of my first book signing at Christian Bookseller, somebody, you know, I had an author's badge on. They said, "What did you write?" I said, "Life is a Goldmine. Can you dig it?" And they said, "What I didn't hear you was that Life is a Garden. Can you dig it?" And I thought, "Ooh, that would be a good title too." And you know, I never did that, but it is addictive. When you do your first, you immediately start to think about the second, and suddenly the world is open to you, and you see things. And I do remember us getting together. together, and it's an honor to have played any role in a prolific ministry such as yours. But the Chinese have a saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and you were ready, and you've mm-hmm. always been ready. You're so creative, biblical. You do a weekly devotional. I was giving you some shout outs the other day on Facebook Live because your illustrations you use are the best, bar none, I've ever observed in ministry. They're relevant. They're not okay. corny. Well, sometimes they're corny, but they're always relevant, and they're on point. And I say, where does he get these? You know, but like you say, once you're in tune with that whole world of creativity and writing, the Holy Spirit just quickens things. And I'm sure you've got a couple more projects that you're thinking about and probably even working on now. Let's transition a little bit. We've got about 12, 13 minutes, Pastor. You've mentioned Homewood more than once, your neighborhood, the community where the church is. Talk to us about the importance of that. I think your church had an opportunity to transition out of the city where you were. You turned down that opportunity, and you stayed in the community. Why has that been so important to you?
Well, again, you're absolutely right that we were in a church building and raised about $500,000, to build an education building. And, we had some discussion at that time, this was, probably 20 years ago, should we, take this money and invest it here in Homewood, or should, we go and maybe build, outside of the city. And almost to a person, we made the decision that, we would stay in Homewood, that God had called us there. And at the time, when I first came back in the 90s, I mean, there was, prostitution, there was drugs, there were gangs. I mean, these things were prolific right there around the church. And, as a result of, us praying, and getting out in the streets, going from corner to corner, and I'm not saying that that's the only reason it changed, because there was a cooperation with law enforcement and other entities that really wanted to see the community change. And so I believe that the prayer had a key part in that, in even bringing the the law enforcement into the community and to see that change. So there may be a remnant of those things. I don't even think there's any gangs right there around the church anymore. Don't see guys standing on the corner selling drugs anymore, and definitely don't see the prostitutes. I know times have changed too. But just to think the way it was in the 90s, it was just violent. It was criminal. And just to see how, that all has transitioned. And so, we transitioned from that, and now, we see that, there are other needs in the community at this point. Even though we haven't been meeting as a church, our church is for worship services has closed down, but we stayed open to the community. And, we have the Master's Kitchen that's open, and just I got an email that last Friday they served 1,400 meals. Now, we're giving meals out for a couple of days, so that's multiplied. Mm-hmm. But we're giving out food. We have a food pantry where people are come getting food. And then the most recent thing that we've done is that Pittsburgh Public Schools are doing the virtual thing right now, and so there's parents in Homewood that they have grade school kids that can't go to school. And so it was a problem for them. And so we've partnered with other organizations in the Homewood community. And right now, Bethany is a hub for kids to come. And we've stripped down our sanctuary. We have desks. We've boosted our internet. And so right now, we have every day between 10 to 15 kids that come, and they're there from 8 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And, they're doing their virtual classes and, doing their online stuff. And so, you know, even in the midst of COVID, when we as a church are not meeting, that, you know, we still have opened up to the community, and that, you know, that we're, you know, we're trying to be a blessing to the community. So, you know, I'm just excited about that, that, you know, again, you know, we haven't met since March of this year. But the ministry to the community has not, you know, missed the beat. And, you know, that's what, you know, we believe that God has us there, you know, for a reason. You know, again, we could have left, but we knew that if we are the church, you know, if we are the body of Christ, if we are bringing life to this community, and if we leave, you know, we're taking a part of that with us too. So, you know, yeah, we just have had a heart, you know, to stay there and let God use us in the community.
Yeah. Next 5 years, I mean, gosh, I know in light of, you know, current situations and events, it's hard to think about the end of the year, but, you know, what's still on your heart? I mean, you've been involved in so many community outreaches, and you have done so many innovative things within the church. But talk to us about you know, your spiritual wish list. What's still on tap? You would hope in the Lord for the remainder of your tenure at Bethany Baptist.
Right. You know, and right now, you know, I belong to four, you know, boards outside of Bethany, and you know, I really feel in it, I feel the Lord, you know, calling me to narrow my focus and begin to, you know, raise up leadership. You know, one of the boards that I'm on, the Center for Urban Biblical Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just that the Lord would, you know, raise up, you know, godly leadership in those on those boards, and that I can begin to narrow my focus, you know, down to Bethany Baptist Church. And you know, I would say, you know, God, since I've been at Bethany, God has allowed me to give birth to three things: the radio ministry, the Bible Institute, and a biblical counseling program. And then I really feel a strong tug that Bethany would get more involved in missions and really, you know, try to engage more African American churches in missions. So, you know, John, for me, the next 5 years, you know, I like to pour my energy into, you know, those four things: the Bible Institute, radio ministry, counseling ministry, and missions.
Uh-huh.
And just you know, just, you know, really try to, you know, touch the lives of people. You know, one of my devotions that I just wrote, I don't know when it's going to come out, but, you know, Joe Morgan, I know you're a baseball fan, and Joe Morgan, he just passed away. And I remember watching him, the Cincinnati Reds, the Big Red Machine, and Johnny Bench. And I read a quote, and so some people ask me, where do you get your ideas, you know, for illustration? Sometimes just listening to the news. Johnny Bench gave a quote about Joe Morgan. He said a lot of things, but one of the things he said is that Joe Morgan left this world a better place for being here. And so, you know, I said, wow, you know, that's what I want to do. You know, I mean, as much evil and sin and wickedness that's in the world, you know, I want to, you know, when they throw dirt in my face, right? I want it to be said that he left the world a better place. You know, I like the one missionary, and I forget the name now. I think it was John Getty, that he went to a tribe of people, and it said that when he came, there were no Christians. When he left, there were no heathen. And I thought, wow, you know, that's a powerful, powerful statement. You know, just that wherever you go, that you leave it better in the power of the Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you leave it better than when you came.
Yeah, well, you've certainly done that, and we're not saying it's over. You know, that there is
right.
All the years God has invested, and the things you've seen and the things you've done are going to be the foundation for you to do even more things, and we'll be excited to hear what those things are. How about writing? Are you in any writing projects or any things that over these next few years you really want to see on paper and produced?
Well, yeah, there was a guy, and he, you know, I'm not sure if he was a Christian or not, but I used to watch him because he was a motivational speaker, Dr. Wayne Dyer. Have you heard of him?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, again, you know, I'm not sure what his faith was, but he wrote a book, and the title of the book was Excuses Be Gone. And, man, this was just, I mean, from a human standpoint, this was just a powerful book. I mean, he did his psychological, his humanistic, even his spiritual. Like, again, I said, I don't know if he was a Christian, but it was a powerful book. And as I listened, you know, I got this CD series and I listened to that. And the Lord just put it on my heart and said that, you know, this is, you know, this kind of material, you know, needs to be in the world of the believers, you know. And so actually I'm working right now on a book. It's called The Lion in the Street. And, you know, the writer of Proverbs talked about, you know, that there's a lion in the street. I can't go out and do this, you know. Use the lion to make excuses for what they couldn't do. And so, you know, I'm writing, you know, this book, you know, to talk about, you know, as believers, you know, we need to, as Dr. Wayne Dyer said, excuses be gone. You know, that, you know, that if God is leading us to do something, you know, we can't talk ourselves out of it, and we can't use excuses to say why we can't do it. So that's the work that I'm currently working on right now.
Yeah, yeah. Any final words? Just any thoughts you can share with someone who is facing this season, this year, this world, and is hopeless or despairing or discouraged as a pastor, as a believer? What do you tell them?
Well, you know, and one thing about the virus, that it knows no boundaries. You know, it didn't just, I mean, even though it might be high among certain, you know, populations, but for the most part, you know, it's just touched, you know, our whole world. And I think
everybody, that,
you know, this is, to me, this is God's, you know, call to say, okay, turn to me. You know, I'm not saying that God sent the virus and, you know, he's
right.
killing all these people. That's not my point. My point is,
right.
I think that God is using it as a wake-up call and saying, look, you know, turn to me. You know, here's, you know, John, you know, this is an enemy that we're fighting an enemy that we can't see, right?
That's right.
And so who's the only one that can see this enemy? The only one that can see the enemy is God. And so, you know, God is telling us, you know, to turn to him and trust him, you know, through this. Yeah, you know, we need to social distance and, you know, the mask and a washing hand. You know, we need to do all the things that, you know, that's out there. But more than that, you know, we need to turn to God. Because he sees the enemy, and he can help us fight the enemy.
Yeah, amen. And we don't know how it's transmitted. We don't know if what we're even doing is that effective. We don't know when a vaccine is coming. And so, again, as I said earlier, we're holding on with the Lord. I don't know how people do it without him. And so, I think we would both say to anyone who is listening, turn to Christ. People say, well, I don't want a crutch. Well, I do. I want two.
Amen.
I need all that I can get, because again, we are reminded we are a vapor. We are a mist. We are frail. We are here today and gone tomorrow. The only thing that brings meaning to our life is a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So,
amen.
Well, Pastor,
amen.
I knew the time would go quickly, and it did. So thank you. I know you're a busy man for devoting this time to me and to our listeners today, and God bless you in your work, and you know we'll stay in touch, and if I can be of help in any way, you please let me know.
All right, thanks, John. I appreciate all that you've done for me, and I pray for your ministry, that God continue to use you to help people find their purpose.
Well, thank you. God bless you and all that you're doing. Give my love to your family and to the church. Take care.
All right, brother. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Pastor William Glaze, Bethany Baptist Church. I'm not just saying that because we're on the air. I love him. I love the work that he's doing. I love his people. And So that's why I wanted to introduce him to some of you, and probably some of you listening know him already. Well, this is that wraps it up for today. No plans for Friday, but that could change. I'll probably be back sometime next week. And in the meantime, this is John Stanker, your host, just encouraging you to be about the work of purpose until we're together again. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to Wake Up to Purpose with John Stanko. To get in touch with John, you can go to www.purposequest.com or write him at johnstanko@gmail.com.